welcome back to the Find Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get closer to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life. Welcome to episode 81.
Today we have the incredible Estelle Bingham on our show, which you guys have probably heard of. She is my therapist, so she's a holistic therapist and energy healer, and probably just the most magical woman I've ever met in my whole entire life. It was an absolute privilege to interview her on our podcast.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. She's got a gift, guys. She just looks at you and she can just read you everything, what you need to unblock. She reads me in this episode and I was shook by how accurate she was. It's amazing. So I'm actually going to go and see her now from the back of this episode. And I'm sure by the end of this conversation, some of you guys will probably feel the same. But yes, she's amazing. And she works with the stars. You know, she told Charlotte Tilbury, like 15 years ago when she first saw her, "Charlotte, you are going to build a makeup brand that's going to be as big as Estee Lauder." And you all know who Charlotte Tilbury is. So that is how like on it she is with knowing like the, I don't know, like this psychic sense.
Yeah, she's got psychic abilities. She's
such a lovely person as well.
Yeah. And everything we speak about in this episode is everything you guys are obsessed with.
Like yeah.
Manifesting. I love the way she speaks about manifesting. Love, relationships. Just
crystals.
So much juice. Yeah, crystals. The moon.
All the woo-woo stuff.
Yeah.
We chat about it all today. So yeah, you're all going to really enjoy this episode. But if some of you guys have been feeling blocked and feeling like you need some support with your mental health and want to get involved in talk therapy from the comfort of your own home, our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and BetterHelp are a professional, secure online counseling service who will set you up with a therapist in under 48 hours.
Yeah, they really are an incredible company. They are available worldwide and they have over 1 million people using BetterHelp today. It is all done from the comfort of your own home. And as we just said, as it is global, they have a huge range of expertise. So whatever you feel like you need that support for, they can provide that for you.
Yeah, whatever your problem is, you just fill out a questionnaire and they'll get a clear idea about who are you and what are your needs, because everybody's mental health struggles are completely different. You might be struggling with depression, anxiety, OCD, PTSD, grief. There's so many different things, and BetterHelp have so many therapists available on there. There is somebody on there that is perfect to help you. And you don't need to go anywhere to access this service. Wherever you're listening to this podcast right now, wherever you are in the world, BetterHelp services are available for you. All you need to do is have the app on your phone, or you can go on the website on your computer and you can set weekly video or phone sessions with your therapist, or you can just talk on a chat box if you prefer not to actually vocally speak. Because everybody's comfort levels with therapy are different and you might need a little bit of time to warm up, because it can be daunting when you've never done it before. But it's a very, very brave step worth taking. And BetterHelp are very kindly giving our listeners an extra 10% off your first month of therapy. So their therapy is already significantly more affordable than traditional offline counseling. But with our discount, you'll get an extra 10% off. So to get this discount, all you need to do is go to the link betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That's betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. We've left the link in the show notes. Just click through there, fill out the questionnaire, and you will be seen by a therapist in 2 days, and the discount will automatically be applied to your account. But there is no shame in therapy. The wheels don't need to have fallen off for you to go. You don't need to be at rock bottom to go to therapy. You can go even when you're feeling good, but you just want to learn some more about yourself, work on yourself. The growth journey of life never stops, guys. But if you want to know anything else about BetterHelp services or therapy in general, because me and Abby have done therapy multiple times in our life and we're big advocates for it, just come and message us on Instagram at Find Your Feet Podcast and we're happy to chat to you guys about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true what you said as well about how you don't need to be at rock bottom, because that's not like we were, but we've both been to therapy and it's really, really helped us. So as Grace said, if you do have any questions or you're feeling a little bit scared, we're very happy to talk to you over on Instagram. Okay, so I'd like to start by welcoming the amazing Estelle Bingham onto our show. Thank you so, so much for agreeing to come on our podcast.
I'm very excited to be here with you and Grace and meet Grace for the first time today. It's a joy. So yeah, I'm really excited about what comes out of our time together.
Yeah, exactly. I've been so looking forward to this, because ever since I met you, obviously I'm absolutely amazed and I think you're the most magical woman ever. And I literally never stopped telling Grace about you. So I've been waiting for so long to pick your brains on so many things. But if you could just start, please, by telling our listeners a little bit about Estelle and what you do. And also kind of like what led you to your career path now, because I think it's really interesting, like your little career journey.
Oh, wow, Abby. You're throwing
a big question
with that big question of what I do. So really what I do is I help people to shift the blocks inside them that are keeping them from living their most high vibrational, the best lives that they can. And the way that I do that is by reconnecting people to their heart energy. And it's in the heart energy that we can start to listen to the wisdom that we were all born with, that we all have access to, that intuition, the part of us that knows. And once we are aligned to that wisdom energy, we literally make the right choices. You know, synchronicity starts to happen, the miracle starts to take place. When we think about manifestation, we are setting ourselves up to just be in co-creation. So when you're in co-creation, you manifest, it's like it's something that kind of just starts to happen. That's my mission on the planet. And how I got here, well, I mean, where do you want me to start, Abby? Do you want me to start from like...
Well, I love when you talk about how you kind of manifested, was in TV presenting, you manifested that. Yeah. And then your journey to what you do now, I found it really interesting, like the transition.
Yeah, so TV presenting was really interesting because I was like floating around in my early 20s and everyone else was really getting it together and I was sort of just floating around and I decided to travel because I really love travel. And then there was a moment when I got back home and I went back and lived at my mum's, and which was a kind of a real growing in itself, because often we go back to places where when we need to kind of understand a part of ourselves again. So I was back in there with my mum, who is really the reason why I do what I do, which is another story. We'll come to that in a minute. But I sat at home and I sat with myself and I really thought, okay, what is it that I want to manifest? And I, at that point, saw myself and really felt in my deep wisdom energy that I could be a TV presenter. But there was nothing on the outside that was really pointing to that in any way, shape or form. And as you know, I mean, it's like one of those things, isn't it? To kind of break into TV, everyone wants to be a TV presenter. So I did a manifestation map. I call them cosmic canvases. I made the manifestation map and I put myself in the middle and I was like, this is what I'm bringing in. And at the time, I mean, I was like the worst PA known to man. I was like, couldn't do it. I was ridiculous. but I went and got a job at a company in Carnaby Street in London that somehow I basically thought, right, I'm going to temp. And I ended up temping at this. They were like, they got me on the phones on reception. They were like, you're quite good at that. You know, I was like, oh, good morning. You know, I was quite good at taking the messages. And they were the company. They were the agency that would get people into the BBC or ITV as PAs. And so I sat there reading through all of these CVs. And then I sent my own CV about 6 months later and I got this job. I landed a job at the BBC, but that was just the beginning. Because I was the worst PA known to man, as we know. But I had this dream and I really stuck to this dream. I really stuck to this vision. I'd walk to work, I'd walk back an hour in and an hour out. And I spent this time really focusing on this dream. When it was like just getting into that building in Television Centre, you probably, you know, some people have seen it, other people haven't. You know, when we used to watch CBBC and you'd see that the Television Centre with all the kind of, it was that really big building. And just getting into the BBC was like such a huge deal. It was like, well, how am I going to now be on-screen talent? Because everyone wants to be on-screen talent. But I really pulled in the alignment energy. I embodied that every day. And I traipsed in the rain and hold on to that dream. And when we get in the lift at the end of the day, everyone would be like, all the other PAs would be like, oh, what are you going to do? And I just start to really claim it. Which is something that I think is really important. I'd say I'm going to be a TV presenter, and that can sound quite deluded, right? You know, people are like, I'm going to be a pop star. I'm going to be, But the thing is, there is a way to be with that where you're just in it, you're just with it, you're just holding it. It doesn't come from your ego. It just sort of comes from a place of truth and really self-belief. Mm-hmm. And then actually I managed to, after that, someone, a guy called John Drury, he said to me, look, what is it that you want to do? I was sitting at a Christmas party and I said, I want to be a TV presenter. He said, I'm going to give you some money out of my budget. Go and make a reel. And that's what I did. I went off and I made a show reel. And then 3 months later, I was on CBBC working on a show called Short Change. But I had to also really, there was a moment there where I had that reel and I was like, I'm leaving. I'm going. Okay. And I sent the reel out to people, like the top agents, and I went off to Greece and I didn't have a job to come back to. I didn't know how I was going to pay the rent, but I was like, I'm going to manifest an agent. And I did. I manifested like one of the top agents at that time, which was amazing. And so, yeah, that's the long version.
Wow, I love it. I love how you speak about that as well, about manifesting, how the most important thing is to kind of embody it. I feel that's what a lot of people miss. It's like, you know, you can get a lot quite stuck in like doing the vision boards, doing all the little lists, but where do you actually embody it? I think that's one thing I really need to work on. It's like really embodying what I want to become.
Yeah, I mean, manifestation is such an interesting, it is an interesting energy, isn't it? And we're talking about it quite a lot at the moment. People talk about manifestation all the time, and it's like you can go through the motions of something, and then nothing really shifts. When we start to embody, our energy, it's like our life energy, it's like that chi energy, really gets behind those dreams. And so it's a very different experience, because that's kind of where the magic happens. That's a sort of something that's not really tangible. You know, it's like when you write, you do a vision board, or you do, and it's like, oh, I've done that vision board and I'm going to really focus on this stuff happening, new relationship, new life, new partner, new whatever it is. We can also be very fearful when we're in that thinking about what it is that we want to bring in. And that fear, of course, that creates a contraction. It doesn't create an expansion. It doesn't create expanded energy. So it actually does the opposite. So all the universe reads is your fear. And of course, fear creates more fear. So fear does not manifest abundance. Fear does not bring that energy to you. And what we know is that energy does follow energy. That's a very basic universal law. So when The Secret talks about the law of attraction, that is what it's talking about, right? It's talking about I'm going to feel abundant, therefore abundance will meet me. I will co-create abundance. Mm-hmm. And that is true, but it's what's behind your feeling abundant. If what's behind your feeling abundant is fear, a lack of trust, not sure, am I going to be the one person that manifestation doesn't work for? Has the universe forgotten me? I'm still not good enough. It's not really going to work. You know, all of these things that are kind of it's like having a sort of the back end of our brains, you know, but it's really noisy. That stuff that's in the shadow, the stuff that's in our shadow stuff, in our shadow selves, is loud. And actually, it's our shadow selves, it's that what's in our unconscious. As we know, again, unconscious thought creates reality. Not what we're thinking consciously, right? Consciously, we can be like, I'm amazing, I'm really good, like, I deserve it, I do. But then unconsciously, there can be some stuff in there swilling around. that you need to kind of just make sure that you dig up and move out as well, or you start a relationship with that really changes what your outcomes.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you were saying about all the fear that comes up for people when they're like thinking about what they want to manifest, and then you were saying about how when you connect into your like heart and your truth, you powerfully manifest. Do you think there's like a difference between where, so I think sometimes people try and manifest things that they actually kind of don't really want, like someone else has just told them that they want it, maybe like a parent has said, oh, you should do that, or society just made them feel like they should go down a different path. And then there's also then obviously what they do want, but all the fear comes up. What do you think about like the two difference between that? And then for the things that people actually want, but the fear's there, what should they do? Obviously, you spoke about shadows and we've mentioned shadow work on our podcast before. And obviously you work with people to unblock them, but how like people will want to know, how do you unblock people? Like what actually is it that you do? Because I know that a lot of it is like in intangible things. You can't properly like, you know, explain it in that way. But I think so many people get really stuck there and can't move forward and then lose the faith in manifestation.
Yeah, I mean, the thing to think about manifestation is a tool, and there are many tools to use when we start to inhabit our truth. We actually, there's all sorts of things that go on when we start to inhabit our truth. And manifestation, co-creation is sort of one of the things that just is a byproduct of being really inhabiting your life and really inhabiting the incarnation, what this lifetime is about. And what when we talk about the people who have been taken away from that because of, you know, I work with a lot of people who come to me in their, you know, in their 20s, and they'll be in their late 20s and really successful, or they're kind of, there's a sort of job route that, you know, they're taking a career path that doesn't resonate with them, has sort of stopped resonating. And that can actually, you know, I can see some 40-year-olds like that, some 50-year-olds like that actually have that moment where they're like, God, I've been living this life and I'm not quite sure it's actually, I'm really aligned with it. So the first thing is, so when we think about the fear that's behind wanting something that your soul doesn't really want or isn't your heart's deepest desire, that's a journey, isn't it? That's a kind of journey, and that's where stepping into the heart and really listening, that is your greatest power. There is no greater power than actually that relationship. You know, we're born alone and we die alone. So really, it's like, all the relationships in our lives are really important, and everyone we encounter has something to show us, or there's a lesson, or we grow and we deepen. But ultimately, this relationship with yourself determines how empowered the lifetime is. So you might be doing one thing, but actually you're meant to be, you know, living a life of service, or you might be living a life of service, you know, in service, but actually you're meant to be, you know, really being a really successful business person, you know, like that's, you're meant to be business, you know, or you're learning how medicine, but actually you're a kind of an energy worker, or, you know, you might want to be helping people in a different way. And so when we listen here, what happens when we don't listen is that gets our true essence energy is suppressed, but it comes back to us, in a toxic way. So it will come back to us with anxiety, or come back to us with low level depression. We can't quite work out what it is. It comes back to us it will knock on our door, and it just might be that itch that you have, or just, it's not quite right. When you step into your shoes and you, the true shoes of who you're meant to be, you feel it in every cell of your body. And it's like, the whole body can take an exhalation. And so everything settles in a very different way. So that was the first question. I think the second question about getting stuck in the shadow self. And I'd say, what I'd say to that is, you know, when we go into any type of, when you start understanding, and it doesn't have to be a spiritual journey. It can just be, it's just the journey back to self. And however you choose to do that, is really precious. But there is a conversation to be had with all of the parts of ourselves, and at some point we have to have that conversation with all of the parts of ourselves. And so, of course, if we've got that, the inner child who we haven't spoken to since, you know, she experienced whatever she experienced, or he experienced whatever he experienced in early childhood, or through trauma, or whatever it was, you know, your inner child is lost. And so there's that moment where we come back in, and we come and we find the wounds, because again, the wounds, these are like the gifts, really. You know, they are the gifts for, once we heal them, for big transformation. So rather than being afraid of them and leaving them in the shadow, because it's like, I don't want to open that closet because it's really spooky, it's really scary, I put a lot of stuff back in there, I'm locking that door. But actually, I have this vision of it being like a house, you know, and people open the door to their house, and often they're just occupying one room, and it looks quite nice, and it's really great, and it's all good. But actually, there's the rest of the house, you know, there's a room upstairs, but all of it belongs to you. And when we can go in there and open the door and open the windows and bring the light in and move the furniture around, then we get to define our own lives, because no trauma has the power to keep you a prisoner. And no person, no other person on this planet has ever done anything to you or, you know, traumatized you or harmed you, or has the power to keep you in that place, even if they're not still in your lives. And so when we take back our lives, when we go back, we go into that room, we open the door, we go in there, and we really often we're recovering the inner child from that dark place. And she's like, hallelujah, you've actually shown up, like, thank God. Like, and it's really powerful. So there's nothing inside any of us that we can't meet. We have the power to meet all of it. And so I would say, you know, it's a journey. And I think that you can start that in whichever way. When you're saying, what do you do about the blocks? You can do talking therapy. You can start with, you know, tapping. You can start with just anything that starts to bring you into a really gentle and loving place where you're able to just speak or be or feel yourself without the chatter of I'm not enough, without the chatter of, you know, who, you know, it's all of the, and often we the chatter is not even that loud. Sometimes it's really loud, but sometimes it's just there murmuring away, and we think we're doing quite well, but it's sort of, there's a murmur happening. And if you can find a safe space to just, you know, where someone can hold space for you, to teach you how to, show you how to hold space for yourself, and that murmuring will start to recede.
Wow, that was beautiful. I feel like that will be really reassuring as well for some people to hear. I think sometimes people need that, like, permission slip to say, actually, you can, like, move on from this and you can face your shadows. Like, that's so lovely to hear. I just have so many questions. Oh, that was amazing. But I would love to know as well, one thing that I'm really interested in is, obviously, we speak a lot about energy and, like, you feel the energy in a room. But I feel like the energy that you, like, you work with is, like, on a whole different level. And it literally amazes me how you can read people's energies. So it's quite like a basic level question, but I really want to know about how, like, when you meet someone and you read their energy, what does that look like to you? Like, is it like a colour, an aura? Is it like a presence? Because I know there was that day that I came to see you and I felt really, really overwhelmed. And you knew straight away and I was like, this is amazing. How did she know this? But as well, obviously, I feel like everyone can pick up on energies to a certain degree. But yeah, I would love to know, like, how you work with the energy to help people face those shadows and kind of like what you see as you read an energy.
Yeah. What do I see?
Yeah, I want to know.
What's going on? So, well, yeah, what happened with me growing up was I've always been able to see and feel energy. And, you know, a lot of empaths. So again, you know, when people become hypervigilant in their childhoods, that can be, you know, if they've grown up in childhoods that are not safe, you know, there's actually a real hypervigilance grows. And actually, that means that you're reading energy all the time too. A lot of empaths, like a lot of, you know, a lot of your listeners will be just natural empaths. They're going to just feel people's energy. They're going to feel that, you know, they can't necessarily, won't be able to necessarily go into large groups because they're picking up on stuff, and or they get drained by people. And one of the things, you know, that I always say is protect, you know, learning how to stay empathetic, but to protect your energy. So I had to do that quite early on, because you can imagine, I mean, I don't want to be at the rave picking up on people's energy. I don't want to be, you know, on the tube picking up on people's energy. I have to be understand how to close that energy down, because there was a point where I was like, okay, this is what I do. And it was a point where I didn't want to do it. And I think that's what you were talking about earlier. I was like, I just thought, I do not want to be talking about this on podcasts in 20 years time, because, you know, but it's wonderful to talk about it here. But at the time, like 20 years ago, it was too much. It was just, I wanted to just do something. I just wanted a different life. But, you know, I surrendered to my journey, and I'm so deeply grateful for being able to just be a kind of a vehicle for reconnection for people. So, and it's, I'm really humbled by it every day. And yeah, it's kind of a bit out there, you know. It's like, I read people's soul. It's like, I've talked about this before, but it's like, you know, when you're at the hospital and the doctors leave the notes at the end of the bed, and between handovers, another doctor will come and they'll look at your notes and read through what you've had in your life. And when someone comes into the space, I immediately start getting information. So aurically, so the auras, you know, you can see colours around people. And more often than not, I'm getting words, I'm getting times, I'm getting places in where the body's holding energy. So if there's been sexual trauma, I immediately pick up. If there's been a broken relationship, immediately I get immediately the parent where the wound is. You know, it might be that it's alcohol related. And it's like reading the notes. And so that's why the first sessions can freak people out a little bit, because it's like, what's going on? And one of the big things that I always hear about from the first session is just the shock of being seen, you know, and truly seen. And it's that really deep, deep down underneath the layers of who we are, really working with that very deep energy. But like I said, you know, it's to move you on, like that really deep energy to accompany you in that place, to teach you and work with you accompanying yourself in that place, because that's what it's all about. Whilst I love every single person that comes to see me and I say, look, between this time and this time, you know, I'm of service to you and I love you. But then the minute the hour's up, you're out, right? So, and it's like, I love you and I, you know, I'd love to see you forever and ever, but also I don't want to. I want you to be able to do this and feel and yourself in a very deep place, that deep place where that's where all of that good stuff happens, that self-belief, that real self-love, not the surface self-love, the deep self-love, not the like, I need another Botox injection, or do I need another do-da-da-da-da-da. And it's like those, you know, I'm not dissing those things. I'm saying you do whatever you need to do. But there's also this thing of when things come from a place of fear, we need to think about that. So, you know, it's about self-love. It's like that self-love story, you know, what's deep, and it's deep. So it's not just going through the motions of self-love. It's like in that very, very deep place. And often people feel very raw because they, you know, we're dropping into vulnerability then, and intimacy. And that's what the space is. It's an invitation to into me see, which is what intimacy is. And yeah, I work with your people in the light, because all of us have guides, all of us have a guardian angel, and we have family in the light. So we have, depending on what your belief system is, if you believe in past lives, it doesn't matter if you don't, but if you do, you know, we have guides that follow us or through from other lives, but we also have family members too. And it's just you know, often people that don't even really know any of that, so they're like, really? But when they come to a session, they're like, oh, well, maybe, you know, actually maybe, because like you said, Grace, it is intangible, but once we start to kind of the intangible starts to become a little bit tangible. So when I, you know, people can feel the tingling in their body, or they go away and they start to have experiences, and, you know, they start to move into, you know, this energy that's waiting to be tapped, waiting to be mined, you know, within us.
Mm. It's amazing. So obviously, like, you've never met me before, and obviously you've met Abby several times, you're working together, you know her well. Like, just from, and we're obviously just having a podcast interview right now. I'm not actually in, we're doing it on a computer, I'm not actually in your space, but can you, like, because I think this will give the readers like a really good example of like the level of your like abilities. Can you read me now? Like, you could say what, you can answer it however you want, obviously, and like say whatever you want. Like, as in, I'm not scared for you to maybe pick something out that will whether expose me, let's say. I don't feel like it will, but can you like pick up things from me just sitting here now having a conversation with you? Or do you have to really, where you're saying like, you know, you embrace your boundaries in that sense, do you have to tune in and then be like, okay, now I'm going to look at you and read you now? Or does it just, as you're just passing through, you just like can see all these things on people?
Well, it's a bit of both, actually, Grace. It's a bit of both. So to get deep with you, you are someone who actually needs a session, okay?
I actually really want to come and see you.
Yeah, you should have been seen. You'd absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I think you're, and so two things. That is the main one. So I would need you on your own and, you know, we need to kind of, you are open though. You are open. Yeah. And I really feel that you are open. And also not. So it's a little bit, you are generally in terms of like the world open, but again, in the kind of, and I know you're open to being vulnerable in this space, but I'd like to see you on your own really. And
yeah.
I feel that that's really useful for you.
Yeah.
Because okay. I'd ask you about
interesting.
I'd ask you about relationships really. That would be my way to start.
Yeah.
I'm already so intrigued. Okay. You're definitely gonna have to go.
I am gonna have to come and see you.
Where are you at with those Grace? Well, where are you at the moment in terms of
what from what you've just said?
What's happening in your relationship world?
You don't think you can say that, can you?
Well, I'll answer it, but I might actually have to cut this bit out. Do you mean like in terms of romantic relationships?
Yeah.
Well, I've never had a boyfriend before. And no. I think where you're saying like I'm open but I'm also closed off, like I've had that feedback as well, and it's being mirrored to me at the minute. Yeah.
Can you see our conversation is immediately gonna go over the edge, right? To the point where you cut it out. Okay. So and that's why I know I need a session with you.
Yeah.
Right. Because some of that stuff around, because I really feel this, there's a disconnect with relationship.
Yeah.
That's quite deep. So I wouldn't want to go in and reveal, like, I feel that,
no.
that your experience of all of it is, there's my German Shepherd barking in the background in unison. I'd want to talk to you in a private space about that.
Yeah.
Well, you basically answered the question though, that you can just read the energies, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Even through
technology. And you're so spot on.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. So so let's not push it. Okay.
Yeah.
So that totally I can. And if we were on Zoom now, and I was, you know, like I do Zooms all day long, so I do Zooms with people who I haven't met, and it's just all around the world, and we go right in, and that's for me like immediately what needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Is the why.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Also now, as you're saying, obviously you do them over Zoom, and then also when people come see you, you have all your amazing crystals, and our listeners are like really into crystals, like they're very, very curious, and I feel like crystals are one of those things that people just don't really know where they stand with them. They're like, they're interested in them, and then half of them they're like, is it just a stone? And I've definitely thought that in the past. I've been very curious. But I mean, I love the crystal and the energy healing that we do. I don't have a clue what is happening. And I was saying that, I wanted to ask you about that. You know, when you do like, when you like touch me and do like the energy healing, I'm like in my head, I'm like, I don't have a clue what she's doing, but it feels good. But yeah. I would love to know a bit more about crystals and how you use them for your healing.
Yeah, my healing. So crystals are interesting, aren't they? And I always say this to people, don't over mystify, don't get bamboozled by stuff, you know, like, oh, I've got to know what that means. And if I don't know what that means, it's like everything. It's like meditation or, you know, anything in the sort of this kind of wellness, the spiritual, people can get quite bamboozled. I always say with crystals, you know, this is your relationship. And you start where you need to start. So you don't even need to know. You can just feel. I always say feel into all of it. And that's the thing about going into the heart. So if you just like the look of, I'm always surrounded by crystals like this, you know, because it's quite shiny and it looks quite nice. This is a labradorite. Then it's go with it. Pick it up, right? And start a relationship with it. This is a labradorite, which is amazing for psychic growth and energy and really takes us into, really connects us with our guides and all of that dimension that I've been talking about. You know, obviously we know about rose quartz, but the colours are a really powerful place to start. And you can just start crystal by crystal. Like, you don't need to know it all. You can just start crystal by crystal, get that rose quartz for the heart, you know, one of these, the plain crystals, you know, the quartz crystals, these amplify everything. These are the master healers. So any quartz crystal you get is going to be amazing. And you can just start with two or three. You can start with the tumble stones, but I've got them all here because I work with them all day long. That's a rose quartz tumble stone. For me, crystals hold really powerful energy. And I really got it with the crystals when I did a TV show. It was a travel show, and it was before 9/11. So it was, we went all the way up to K2 in Everest. We went like to the K2 near in the Himalayas, like, but on the Pakistani side, on Pakistan side, we were in Pakistan. And it was at this travel show, and we went to a place called Hunza, the Hunza Valley, where they all live till they're like 105, but really amazing. And it's because they eat this purified apricot. And it was part of the Silk Route up there. It's very magical. It was like its own little kingdom. And they also were bandits. So there was like this amazing castle. This king used to live in the castle. But they'd also like all this silk that used to come down from China through the Himalayas to India and all the way back. They'd hijack and take all the booty back to the castle. But they're also quite amazing people. And up there, they believe in fairies, and they have the most incredible crystals, like in the hip that deep in this part of the of Pakistan, like unbelievable crystals. And I got my first crystal, which was an alestial crystal, which is actually an alestial crystal, looks like a quartz, but it's slightly different. I'll have to show you one at some point. But that is they are the record keepers, and the record keepers is the energy that I was then going to work with, which is, it's called the Akashic Records, and everyone has an Akashic soul record. So I had this, and I had this crystal, and in the castle, they had a room with crystals that were like the size of people, and they were really into this crystal energy. So I brought my first crystal back, having bathed it, having done this 10-hour trek up one of these glaciers. But I bathed my crystal at the top of this mountain, and then I was like, I really feel the energy. And everything is just made up of energy. So again, it's not like, you know, yeah, it's a stone, isn't it? It is a stone, but it also holds a vibration. Like, everything holds a vibration. Like, when you go to that tree, one oak tree holds one vibration, and another tree is going to hold another vibration. Or you go to a really nice garden, or you go to the ocean, or you go to a house. Like, everything holds vibration. So crystals do hold vibration. And when you work with them, and you they start to kind of open up to you more, which is why, just like people, just like Grace would open up to me more in a session, you know, the crystals themselves. And they just want to assist in us being aligned. So it's kind of like they're of service. And so when I work with my crystals, they really help me out. It's like having a few people. It's like having like an extra pair of hands in the room, and I love it. My working crystals. I've got a massive celestite, which is a blue one. That's very angelic. I work with a lot of angelic stones, and they're just like having some people around. You know, like my animals really absorb a lot of energy. Bless them. Like Bilbo, my Canterbury's 12, is like, okay, I'm going to absorb a bit more energy. but you know, they really can help. So, and again, I say just be in relationship. Like the more energy you give them, the more energy you'll feel back from them. So get them out on the full moon and under the full moon. Like even if you're kind of like, really, do I do this? Like, yeah, give it a go. Because what you'll find is you start to learn how energy changes. So when you put your crystals in some salt water on a balcony out in the full moon, and you then take them back and you feel them, then you'll feel them and think, ah, these actually feel a little bit different. And that's how they open up to you, because they kind of teach you as they go.
That's so interesting. Love that story as well about the crystals and the Himalayas. That sounds absolutely amazing. You also just touched on there about the moon. And obviously we know you work a lot with the moon. You do your full moon meditations, which me and Grace experienced last night, which we will talk about now, which I thought, it sounded absolutely beautiful. I personally feel like I didn't drop into it as much as I wanted to, not because of anything wrong that you did, but because we were meditating together. And
I was moving a lot
and breathing really loud as well, which is fine.
Breathing so deeply. I think maybe
I should have actually been breathing more. I think sometimes when I try and fall into a meditation, I actually like don't breathe much. I don't know if that's actually a good or a bad thing, but
I don't always breathe that heavily. But I just
you were definitely releasing a lot.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes I do breath work a lot, and sometimes I'll do it, and I will just it's like my body starts to move like this, and I always do it lying down. And it's like it's moving something out of me. And then sometimes I just lie there and I'm completely still. But then last night I was like,
you were basically doing a workout next to me. And I was like,
I know it's a bit of a horrible habit that people don't like, but I was like clicking on my joints, but like obsessively, which was probably really noisy and annoying for you. And I was like putting my arms in the air and like moving my hands around and breathing so heavily. And I was so deep into it. I just thought, well, Abby's not told me off, so she must be okay with me doing this. Obviously, actually, I was disturbing you.
Yeah, you was, but it was all right. Yeah. I'm definitely going to do the next one, because I kind of wanted to do it again at the end to like drop into it more. But I would love to know more about how you work with the moon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love that. I love that all of that was going on, the shenanigans. with Grace and Abby. Grace and Abby shenanigans. I mean, obviously, you know, when we do it live, if we were in person, you know, often people release energy in different ways, and it's like it's kind of happening like that, isn't it? And you know, Grace actually feels like you were actually in it. So like you say, with the breath work, so whenever you go into any release work, your body really physically does start to kind of, it wants to move it on physically. It's feeling that, you know, and that's kind of how you release, and it's really important to honor that actually. And so in a group, there's always someone who might be, you know, like breathing loudly, or that can happen. There could be a few people. And then with Abby, it's like sometimes to just drop in, it just needs to be so like really quiet and kind of you need to take what you need to take. And I started working with the moon when I was away. I was in Barbados, because my father's from Barbados, like 22, 25, 24, 5 years ago. And I was on a piece of land where the moon was rising, literally rising from the sea. And it was on a plantation where actually both sides of my family had been slaves on that land. And they spoke to me and said, you need to start honoring the moon, and you need to start burying crystals. You need to start burying crystals and bringing crystals and doing a moon meditation. And I was like, oh, right, okay. And so I started to do full moon meditations, and I do them at home. So I've been doing them for like 25 years. And what I love about the moon is, you know, again, it's become very fashionable. The moon's like in, it's like people do, you know, moonology, and, you know, it's like it's in the world. And I love that, because the great way to think about the moon is just a check-in. You know, it's just checking in. You check in with a new moon, full moon. You can check in that. So that's twice a month. And it's just, you don't even have to get in again. We don't have to get like mystified about it. You know, people are like, it's a blood moon in a red sky in Taurus and Libra rising. You know, it's like, that's good to know because I will explain why. But in the first instance, you know, you can just be like, oh, wow, like there's a massive moon out there and it's bright. And I am a person on the planet. And I'm just going to tune in. I'm just going to check in with myself and what's happening and where I'm at in this moment. Again, it's just that remembrance. And every time we check in, we're honoring ourselves. So again, it's we're filling that cup of deep energy that I was talking about before of listening and allowing and giving permission for all the stuff that you're with to just emerge. And it's great, yeah, the full moon you can release, you can think about what you want to release from that month, the new moon you can set intentions. I always say that we're always manifesting, so I don't really get I never really move off my path, right? Whether it's Mercury retrograde, whether it's a full moon, a new moon, it's like we just manifest, we're manifesting every day because we're alive, so we're breathing and we co-create and doesn't, you know, those things are powerful. But we hold the most power. So you can use those energies, work with them and be mindful of them. Like, okay, Mercury's in retrograde, not a great time to do X, Y, Z, but I'm still going to work with my dream because today I'm still in co-creation. I'm still enough. You know, the full moon's out, like it's about release and manifest. It's like because we're constantly in co-creation. So each planet, when it moves into a different sign, so last night with Sagittarius, it allows us to also bring those qualities into our world. So Sagittarius moons are about freedom, about truth, about pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And if you're not really like that because you're a Virgo and quite cautious, or you're just quite cautious, you know, we can start harnessing different energies every month. So again, it's quite an adventure.
Yeah,
I love
sure. Yeah, no, I do too. No, it's interesting working the moon, but I love what you said there as well, like we are the most powerful thing, because sometimes we cannot sometimes yeah. get too much into it, like into the moon, into the crystals, but at the end of the day we are literally the most powerful thing.
I wanted to ask you about, we're obviously like you connect so much with people's souls, like you obviously you like can read people like straight away. Mm-hmm. What do you think about because I've been thinking about this a lot recently, about like your past life or like your soul contracts and things like that. And sometimes that term of like soul contract, people are like, what on earth are you talking about? Like, I don't get it. What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you believe in that, that when we come into like this physical body, our soul, that we do have sort of like a contract or a pre-agreed thing that we agree to do or to be of service or to do something that then we start to then play out, like manifest into our actual life and how we do it?
Yeah, I feel like we are all of it. You know, I feel like we are, someone was talking to me about this, like, you know, what is our destiny? What's destined and what's co-created? And so soul contracts, for me, absolutely exist. You can kind of, you know, we're going to have soul contracts with our families. You know, there are going to be people mm-hmm. in our family because we're born next to them. But then those relationships, you know, it's like some of those relationships that are really kind of karmic, you know, might be a bit toxic, might not be good karma. And so the soul contracts are about relationships where there's a sort of like a soul agreement to grow together or to learn a lesson. And the lesson might not be good. Okay. So sometimes I've met people and I'm like, I clock it early doors. I'm like, I've got a soul contract with you, but you know what? Like, I'm choosing in this moment to not go through it because I can see it and I can tick and thank and go, thank you, that was that. Like, I don't need to go in and play out, you know. And other times I've had to go in and play out to understand what that lesson was about. So if it was to do with love, it was to do with toxic relationship, like, you know, how many times do you need to do that? But sometimes with those people, they keep coming in because you might have a little bit of a soul contract with a few of them, right? But it's not that you have to go, you don't have to fulfill every contract, but they definitely exist. So that's the wisdom. The wisdom is knowing what it is that you are choosing, because it's both. It's both. We are, again, we have the power to determine and define our own incarnation, our own lives. Like, we have been gifted that. So it might feel like a really strong pull, like I've got to live something out with you, I've got to feel something out with, but then every part of you is going, but this doesn't feel right, like he's not quite the ticket. Like, I'm not sure, you know. And so do we listen to that, or do we go and fulfill the soul contract? And there are times when we need to go and fulfill the soul contract because we haven't learned the lesson. But if it came round again, we'd probably go, oh, I've learned that lesson. I recognize this person. I've known this person before, but I don't want to do it again. I've known this person. You remind me of that other person that I knew from a past life. But actually, thank you very much and good night. Have a good time. Like, ships in the night.
Yeah. So what do you think of soul contracts more than as like you meet with another soul on earth and like you have to do you mean it as in like, because I always thought of soul contracts as in like you have some sort of purpose, or in,
so that's a destiny, so that's slightly different. So yeah, we have, so we, what I was talking about, the soul contracts that we have with people and places, experiences, we can have soul contracts with experiences.
What, but, so do you think when people, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, I just want to go back to that question. So when, you know, when people have reoccurring toxic relationships, like romantic partners, they seem to attract the same person. Are you saying that's some sort of soul contract in that you have a lesson to learn, or that you need to help someone else? And I'm asking this as well because it, not from my own experience, but from a friend who mentioned something to me the other day, was like, this person keeps coming back into my like realm all the time. And it's like, am I here to heal them, to help them? But then that's quite, and then I'm like, I don't know. Is that like a toxic even foundation to be on, to think that it's your responsibility to heal somebody that is like that, but they just keep seem to magnetize back together on such an intense level? And I know that there's a lot of deeper stuff that comes with that, of like, all that trauma bonds and everything, but yeah. I've never thought about soul contracts in the way other people. I always just thought it was that, oh, you, as you, as you pass over into the physical realm from the spiritual realm when you're born, you just agree to maybe, I don't know, raise the consciousness of the planet through having a podcast or something like that, like in it manifesting that way. I've never thought about it in what you were just explaining then about
So the soul comes in with a desire to heal certain wounds or certain understandings. It comes in, so that's why the greatest healers and the most often the most wounded healers, or that's why when we have trauma, it's those are like, that's where the light comes in, as we've heard that, you know, probably heard that saying. It's like that, where the wounds are is where, that's where you connect the light in to the lifetime. So, you know, that's when we transform. And so it's really amazing. We transform all of that energy. And that's what the lifetime is about. It's about the transformation. It's about that crossroads transformation moment. And what the soul comes in. So sometimes you can be born and just go, oh God, like, wow, like, why, how did I end up with these parents? Like, who, what's going on here? And then that pattern can get repeated. So you go into a kind of codependency in your relationships, or you end up in sort of, you pull in those types of relationships. Because there's a bit of a soul contract to that karma. There's a bit of a soul contract to that learning. So we have to learn to really heal those wounds in the childhood. Otherwise, they keep repeating. But also, guess what? At 22, you might manifest that really strong relationship that's toxic with that guy, and it feels really powerful and it's really sort of sexually charged. It's got all of those layers that you're talking about, the trauma bonding. He might have had a similar growing, you know, like childhood, but it's also, and then there's that codependency. But there's also that thing where you might actually just know that person. Both of you have come in because you've got to learn to walk away. You know, there's something about you've got to learn to walk away, like you've got to learn not to enable, and he's got to learn to feel that. He's got to learn to feel that he's not being enabled, because ultimately we're all only responsible for ourselves and our children, but definitely not when they come along, but definitely not our partners. Like I said, we're born alone and we die alone. So whenever there's that, her growing edge might be that she needs to understand that his life is his life, and she has to have that boundary, have that line in the sand where I end and you begin, and that's her karmic lesson. You know, maybe she's repeating something from the childhood that she's seen as sort of but she's her karmic lesson is to see all of that and not repeat it. So soul contracts work like it's like that multi-layered, it's like all of the things we come in with,
right? Okay.
They're kind of all interlinked. But in terms of soul purpose, yes. And that's what you were talking about in terms of the soul contract.
That's what I was thinking.
Has a stamp. You know, when people see me, they often, some people think, oh, I don't know what my purpose is. I can't find it. I don't know it. And it's like, it's there. You know, no one gets to come onto earth plane without one. You are not the person, the only person on the planet who didn't get a purpose. Every single human being has a purpose. And it may be buried deep within you, but it's there. So when we think about that journey back into the heart, when we ask the question, well, why do I need to drop in? Why do I need to go on that inner journey? Because you're going to find yourself. You're going to find yourself in there, right?
Yeah.
And the gift that you are, like the gift that you are, the gift that you will be, and you are the gift that the planet is waiting for. So whether it's to raise a consciousness of the planet with a podcast, it's not always about saving the world. Sometimes it's just about showing up, and that day just showing up. And you know what? Like you look out, and you know, and it's a nice, it's a good day, and I'm going to go for a walk, and I feel good about myself. You don't. That might be your purpose in the lifetime. It just might just be to feel like you're enough.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be like an all singing or dancing, but that's just going to make you, you know, a better friend to yourself, to the people that are close to you. It's going to make you a better parent. It's going to make you, you know, a better a part of, you know, who you are in your community. You're just going to show up and be really present, and it's enough. So, but to connect in with that is like what it's all about.
Yeah. I love that. I think I have always had the thought that every single person has got a purpose and everyone's got a unique gift to share with the world. Whether that is on a big scale or a small scale, it doesn't matter. And nobody's gift and purpose, even if that someone's got huge life-changing, world-changing purpose, doesn't mean that it's any better than someone who's is with just to be a certain way within their family and the impact that has or anything. So I love how you explain that. And how it's all about connecting back to your heart and that inner wisdom to find that. I think so many people are like, what's my purpose? What's my passions? What am I meant to be doing? I'm so lost. And they literally drive themselves mental, like trying to figure this out. And there's so much pressure in our society put on to find this huge purpose. And if it's not a big life-changing thing and you're not succeeding and winning, then you aren't worthy. And then that in itself just perpetuates that not enoughness story that so many people have. That just, we're all enough. We were born like enough as we are. So that's a beautiful answer. I really, really like that. And that soul contract thing, I've never thought about from the way of other people. It's so interesting. I felt there's just so many layers to you, like so many things that I want to know. But I'm also definitely going to come and see you for sure. I'm feeling very like, I feel really like emotional right now.
Yeah, I feel quite emotional when you're saying that about being enough and stuff. I was like, oh, she's got me the feels again. Try not to cry.
and I think that obviously you have such a skill of being able to read people, but like even just being in your presence. I know I asked you before, like, what can you tell from me? And you picked up like very accurate things right away. But even just from how you like being the presence of you, even though we're just having a conversation about random things, like you make people feel so seen. Like I feel like the way you look at people, like you really look into them and
into the soul.
Yeah. And obviously people on the podcast that are just listening, and they might be able to tell that or not, but obviously we're on the other end of like you right now. And so we can, confirm that to everybody else. You've got something very, very amazing and special and definitely life-changing for a lot of people. So I hope that people from this conversation will, maybe come and see you if they need to be unblocked, because you've got something really that you can't explain, but it's like there's something very
unblocky going on. We love it.
Yeah.
No, you've been absolutely amazing. I've loved everything you said. Maybe just one quick, really last question. What would Estelle Bingham's best piece of advice be for our listeners? Just for life, maybe.
So I feel like today, you're going to take a breath, you're going to take a moment just after this podcast, you're going to place your hand on your heart, you're going to take a few nice deep breaths into your heart, and you're just going to start and that journey of just being still and just being with yourself and just feeling into that. The greatest advice is that it's all inside. It's all here. It's all waiting to be met by you. It's waiting. Your life is waiting for you in every way, in ways that you can't even imagine. And all it takes is for you to just start with that very simple step. You don't need the crystals. You don't need the moon. You don't need the sage stick. You just need your hand, and you just need to connect in, and it's and the jewel is there.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, I love that.
Beyond beautiful. So beautiful. So lastly, where can our listeners find you? Because I'm sure they're very, very interested by now. I know you have your website, and I think that links to most of your things, doesn't it?
My website, EstelleBingham.com. And then Estelle, am I Estelle.Bingham? I think I'm at Estelle.Bingham on Instagram. So yeah, come and find.
And of course, your amazing podcast. I also got then your podcast, which I absolutely love. Everyone needs to go and listen to that, especially if you've been interested in kind of like when we're talking about like spirits, everything like that. You really go in on that, and I love it.
Oh yeah, Love Purpose Connection. You can listen to that on iTunes or Spotify, wherever it is that you download this stuff. And I come and find me, and I'm here. Where I've always been.
She's ready. Well, it's thank amazing. You so
much.
Thank
you so much, Estelle.
Oh, lovely. Lovely to see you. Lots of love.
Wow. I just absolutely loved that conversation. Like, absolutely everything about it just hit my soul. She just says something in such everything in such a specific way.
Yeah, especially the last point was so beautiful. I just love what she said about how your purpose in life can just be to realize that you are enough as you are. I think there's so much pressure put on our purposes being like these huge life-changing things, and that's not what it's all about. So yeah, it was a beautiful conversation. I really hope you guys enjoyed it, and it made the whole conversation, I felt really emotional. It's just something about Estelle, you know. But if you want to follow her, get involved in her services, if you want to see her for an energy healing session or listen to her podcast, we've left all of the links to find her on Instagram and everything in the show notes, so make sure you go and get involved. So I know you guys are going to love her. You'll probably love her podcast as well, all the spiritual vibes, all the woo-woo stuff. So yeah, go and check that out, and you can keep up to date with everything that Estelle is doing.
Yeah, definitely go and get involved. I bet by now you'll be so intrigued, but it's definitely something you will not regret if you go and into the world of Estelle.
Yes, into Estelle's vortex. But thank you so much for listening, guys. Really, really hope you enjoyed this episode. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you thought about it. What bits did you love? What landed for you? Come and message us on Instagram and let us know. And if you like this episode and you think someone could really benefit from hearing it, then share it, because the best way to spread the Find Your Feet message and the podcast is by you guys sharing it between your friends. The word of mouth that gets spread on this show is really, really amazing. We appreciate everybody who does that. But if you want to be really, really kind and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, then just go on there, scroll down on our profile and leave us some feedback and let us know what you think about the show, because we love to read your reviews out at the beginning of the episodes.
Yeah, definitely come and let us know your thoughts. And you would have heard in this episode, we spoke a little bit about meditation. As you know, we love a bit of meditation. So we do have our meditations and affirmations available on our website, findyourfeetpodcast.com. They are planned and recorded from us, straight from our souls. So if you are interested in any meditations or even personalized affirmations, which we will record for you, depending on what you're trying to work towards or manifest, then go and check them out. As I said, findyourfeetpodcast.com.
Yeah, left the link in the show notes. And come and follow us on Instagram at Find Your Feet Podcast. That is where we are every single day of the week. We don't need to wait until every Wednesday and Sunday to hear from us on a podcast episode. Come and join our community on there and interact with us. We love seeing you guys commenting on the posts and DMing us and chatting to us and letting us know what you think about the show. It means the world.
And finally, we have our Monday morning mailing list, where we mail you every single Monday morning some positive inspiration straight from our soul, just to lift you up on your Monday morning. Like, who would not want that? We will leave the link in the show notes if you do want to sign up for the Monday morning mailing list.
But that's all for now. Thank you so much for joining us this week, guys, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.